Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to be looking at a text in Psalm 135, but I want to begin with Isaiah 43. Our God, the God that we worship and praise and glory in and look to, and the God of this Bible, has the right to do whatever it pleases Him to do. His right to choose one sinner and not another sinner. His right to save or damn. He has this right because He's sovereign. He's sovereign. That means He's God. He's God. That means He can do and He will do whatever He wants to do. That means He's not standing anywhere, waiting on anybody to do anything, or let Him do anything. He's not standing at anybody's heart's door. That's what so many people say, standing at your heart's door. Well, He's not standing there. He doesn't do that. When He purposes to come to a heart's door, He walks up to it and He knocks it down and He says, "This is mine." And He does that because He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Now look at Isaiah 43 with me. Verse 11 says, and the whole world needs to see this, but Isaiah 43 verse 11 says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? What he's saying is, who's going to stop me? Who's going to stop my purpose and my will? Look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That means you and I are not sovereign. We cannot do whatever we will to do. We may say that we will, or I'm going to exercise my will, but we can't. People say me and Jesus have a good thing going. This says that's not true. People say God helps those who help themselves, and this says that's not true. He said, I am the Lord, there is none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Haven't even known me. Ephesians says that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. You hath He quickened. He did all the quickening. You hath He quickened who were dead in sin. Who gets all the glory in this? God does. The Lord Jesus Christ does. Now turn with me over to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 verse 35 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's you and me. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None. This is God's sovereign decree. This is not any man's opinion. This is his sovereign word. Now go with me over to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Five books over. Jonah 1 verse 14 says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. As it pleased thee. That's the point I'm trying to make this morning. God is going to do whatever it has pleased him to do. Whatever it's pleased him to do. Look at Ephesians 1, if you're turning with me. Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can we not see in his word that God is sovereign? Can we not see that? That there is only one will and purpose that's going to be done, and that's God's will and God's purpose. Well, based on that, with that as a foundation, I have some wonderful news for us. I have some very wonderful news. This is a good news message. The verse of scripture we're going to use for a text this morning is Psalm 135, verse 6. And this is what it says. Psalm 135, verse 6. It says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. Knowing that our God is truly sovereign, that's what gives us comfort. You know that? It's what gives us peace because he has said in his word what it has pleased him to do. He's told us what it has pleased him to do. And it's amazing what it has pleased God to do, what he wanted to do. It's amazing. If there was any doubt in my mind that he was not able to do this, then I wouldn't have any comfort in his word. But because he is sovereign, my heart can rest in the fact that if he said it, he will do it. If he said it, he will do it. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. In heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. Now here's our question. What did it please the Lord to do? What did it please the Lord to do? He has told us in his word five things. He's given us five different things that it pleased him to do. We're going to turn to different scriptures and see all five of them. Here's the first one. It's over in 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you're turning with me, go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. This is his own mind. This is his own will. His own purpose. Is that not amazing? It hath pleased the Lord to make you and to make me his people. That's what he said. Look up at verse 20. It says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. All this wickedness. You know, we're all sinners. We can acknowledge that, can't we? We can admit that. We're all sinners, every single one of us. And the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the amazement of that verse is not, Esau have I hated. You know, men and women hear that and think, well, wait a minute, God doesn't hate. Well, the Lord said he hates all workers of iniquity. And you and I are workers of iniquity. We are sinners. That's what we are. We might as well acknowledge the truth. We're sinners. The glorious news of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And our Lord said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And the amazing part of that is not that he hated Esau. Why would he not? Esau was a sinner, just like us. The amazement of that verse is, Jacob have I loved. How could God love Jacob? He's a sinner. But our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign, and he can do whatever it pleases him to do. And he chose to love some people. Some people. Here's what I want to know. Am I one of them? Did he choose me? Does he love me? Well, whoever he chooses, he puts faith in those people. Faith to believe his word. He confirms to them that he's sovereign. You know, you tell the average person that God is sovereign and he chooses whoever he will. He can save, he can damn. He can draw a sinner unto him, he can pass a sinner by. The natural man hears that and he doesn't like that. He says, I don't believe that. You mean to tell me I have no work, I have no part in salvation? I don't believe that. But if God does choose a sinner, he confirms to them that he's sovereign. He puts faith to believe his word. He chooses whom he will. He confirms to that person, I really am a sinner. I really am a sinner. I say right along with David, I acknowledge my transgressions, my sins are ever before me. When God comes to a person, he confirms to them, I'm unworthy to be one of his people. I truly am. I am unworthy to be one of his people. The average sinner believes in his heart that he's worthy for glory. I've done so many good things in this life. Whenever I stand before God, he's just going to be delighted to see me, and he's going to be happy to welcome me in. That's not what God has said. He said all of our righteousnesses, that means all the good things that we've done, all the good that we think we are, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And he's going to say, if we stand before him without Christ, without the righteousness of Christ, if we're not in Jesus Christ, covered in his blood, he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. I'm so unworthy to be one of his people. Our God will confirm to the person that he chooses to save that there is only one way to become one of his people. And it's not through works. It's not through good deeds. It's not through morality. Well, you better start living right, and you better start living better and doing better things so that you can go to heaven. No, that's not the way. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way a sinner can be saved. If God has put that belief in you, then it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. I'm happy to tell you that. I'm happy to tell me that. If we bow the knee to a sovereign God, then it's God who has made us, caused us to bow It is God who has bent our knee, and it's pleased the Lord to make us his people. All right, now if we're sinners, and we are, if we're sinners, and if sinners cannot be in his presence, no sin can be in his presence. He cannot allow sinners to enter into his kingdom. And if we're sinners, how did he make us his people? How did we become his people? Well, turn with me over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This is the second thing that our Lord said it pleased him to do. Isaiah 53 verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." That's talking about Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. How were outcast sinners made to be sons of God? It pleased the Lord to bruise his own son. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing that that is what God chose to do? Verse 6 right here in Isaiah 53, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord laid on his own son the sin of us all. Is he talking about all of mankind, every person born into the world? No, he's not. Look at John chapter 6 with me. John 6 verse 37, it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." God the Father chose some sinners to make them his people. So he brought them to Christ, and he transferred their sin to his own son. And then he killed his own son. That's amazing love. That's amazing love for sinners. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Well, here's the third thing that our Lord said it pleased him to do. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." It's just too simple. It's just too simple. It's too irrelevant. It's unnecessary. We don't need preaching. It's foolishness. Verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Verse 21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God." This is what it pleased God to do. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What men and women call foolishness. What they say is just too simple. What they say is irrelevant. What they say is unnecessary. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Are you saying that God can't save a person any other way than through hearing the gospel preached? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, God said he won't save anybody any other way than through hearing the gospel preached. I'm just declaring what he said. I can do no other. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Paul wrote in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the declaration of the good news of what Christ has done for a sinner. That's the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Ephesians says, by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God to save his people through the hearing of the gospel. It pleased God to bring a person to his gospel, to cause their path to cross with his gospel, his truth. It pleased God to sit that person down. It pleased God to give that person ears to hear, and it pleased God to give that person saving faith to believe his word. The word preached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James wrote, of his own will begat he us, he's sovereign, and of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth. That's what it pleased God to do. Pleased God to make you his people. The way he did that is it pleased God to bruise his own son. And it pleased God to call out his sheep through the preaching of the gospel. Now here's the fourth thing that our Lord said it has pleased him to do. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Verse 15 says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. It pleased God to reveal his son in me. First, it pleased God to reveal me in his son. He put my sin, my works on his son. Pleased God to reveal me in his son, and then he bruised his son for it. But in doing that, a true substitution took place. He became us. That's what Hebrews 7 says. He became us. And when he became us, a true substitution took place. And because he revealed me in his son, and because I died in his son, it pleased God to reveal his son in me. That is so amazing. Christ liveth in me. As he is, so am I. I have been conformed to his image. He was conformed to mine. And because of that, I have been conformed to his. Is that not wonderful? When God now looks at me, and when God looks at any sinner that the Spirit of Christ lives inside, when God looks at that sinner, he sees Christ. He sees his son revealed in that sinner. That's good news. Well, here's the fifth thing that our Lord said it pleased him to do. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 19 says this, for it pleased the Father that in him, that's in Christ, should all fullness dwell. All fullness. The fullness of what? Well, name something. Just name something. Salvation. Every bit of that is in Christ. All of the fullness of salvation is in Christ. Righteousness. You know, we need righteousness to enter His kingdom. Every bit of that is in Christ. Sanctification. I need to be cleansed. Justification. I need to be right. Redemption. My debt needs to be paid for. Every bit of that is in Christ. Joy. Happiness. Peace. Rest. Hope. Love. Forgiveness. Every bit of that is in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "For in Him," that's in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." What does that mean? It means God. The God. God in three persons. Where is God? Where is the fullness of God? Here's the answer. In Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And it pleased God to make us complete in Him. Complete. Full. Finished. Perfect. Mature. Holy. In Christ. In myself, I'm a sinner. I'm still a sinner, and I'm going to be a sinner until the day I leave this earth. As long as I'm in this flesh, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to be a sinner until the day I leave this earth. But in Christ, I'm finished. I'm complete. All the fullness is in Him. Every single bit of it. If I have Christ, I have all I need. There's a song and it says, "Jesus Christ is made to be all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. I am complete in Him." It pleased the Lord to make you His people. It pleased the Lord to bruise His Son. It pleased the Lord to call out His people through the preaching of the gospel. It pleased the Lord to reveal His Son in every single one of His people. And it pleased the Lord to put all the fullness of time, eternity, His people, His kingdom, all the fullness in Christ. And if it pleased God to make us that, complete in Christ, we're going to be that. And the reason is because He's sovereign. And if He said He would do it, He'll do it. That's good news, isn't it? Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.